to that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, recite you, reciting the records of Kashuk. We laughing, we drafting the passion through fabric. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
Exactly. Well, welcome, Alex. I assume you guys have been chit-chatting.
Yeah, I'm friends with everybody now. It's all good.
We saved any content, though. As soon as we started to say something interesting, we stopped.
Oh, I love it.
We're right back to talking about our microphones. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you something, you know, on the topic of this podcast, you know, and this will be, I'd love to hear where you guys stopped. But also in addition as well, there's this thing that people who go to healing school and people who do a fuck ton of Tai Chi or people who do a lot of Qigong or anybody who gets like deep into like the high vibrational energy, like training systems, there's a common thing we talk about, which is that technology literally blows up around us, like doesn't work. You can't, I just had a reading with my person who I work with. And she was like, I was trying to get her to like get a free conference call line number so that I could record the session. She was like, honey, those things explode around me. You know better than to ask that. And I was like, I know, but can't wait. And like, so it was just reconfirmation from someone I really trust that like, yeah, this is a real thing. And like, it's in this day and age, it's pretty challenging for me to deal with because it happens all the time.
This happens to Paul. This is Paul's life. Paul fucking, yeah.
Really?
I have this constantly with him. He like melts phones. They melt, like he can't get it. Like they, the batteries inflate and explode. Like he's too powerful.
I get that. I made this really weird choice recently to buy this car that's like high tech, electronic, everything's a fucking electronic, dumb idea.
Now I'll get you a go-kart, girl.
For real? I need a...
Get you a golf cart with a diesel engine on it and just...
I need like a Toyota Camry from 1984.
With a crank, just like a pedal cranks.
Fred Flintstoning it around, baby.
So what were you guys chit-chatting about that was starting to get interesting?
Shit, I don't know, because we purged it. We were, it's gone. We'd started to talk about, like, I was talking about listening to Alex's podcast. So just because we've started, let's just say this is Alex Murdy. And
hello.
Alex has a cool podcast. Katie was on this podcast. Podcast is called Mystic Lasagna.
That's
Did
it.
Did I get it right?
Yeah. You got it. Yeah, it's like Mystic Pizza, but it's lasagna because... is about Garfield and how he's, if you look at Garfield enough, you will begin to understand the universe through looking at Garfield because he's a thing that there's a lot of.
Okay. So after I chatted with Alex, I have to share this with you, Cass, and with all the listeners. I had to text him from Baltimore, Maryland and be like, Garfield is an oracle. Garfield is a portal to another dimension because we just had our podcast taping. I was on his, I drive immediately to Baltimore on my way to North Carolina. And I'm sitting in a restaurant by myself. Oh, and then I was in Asheville. Asheville is when this doesn't matter. It was a place.
It's Asheville because it may very well have been the same girl that I saw.
That's right. Yeah. So I'm in this Italian restaurant and I'm texting Alex going like, okay, this chick just walked into this restaurant and sat down. Younger Indian, East Indian looking girl with her mom, maybe like a preteen. And she had a I Hate Mondays shirt on, which is the Garfield thing. And I haven't seen a Garfield image or phrases, nothing, maybe a decade. I just like didn't, never. And then we do our thing. And then there she was. And then I'm telling him that and he's like, yeah, but I know. So what did you say in response about?
I was just like, so I had done my like bachelor weekend in Asheville and it's a funky place, man. Like it's super weird. And like we were in, I also spent like, there's the Montreat. I grew up in the Presbyterian Church and the Presbyterian Church PCUSA has a big retreat center there, Montreat. And it's sitting and like, we just, my friends who did not know that I used to go there just happened to book us a house dead ass next to it. Also two doors down the road from my high school principal who had like moved there and was chilling. So like on my bachelor weekend, I set off a bunch of fireworks and I really hope like made Gordon Neville go insane one last time. woke him up and was like, shook his fist at me because he always wanted me to cut my hair. But, you know, we were just like, we just had a good, funky, weird weekend with my boys. And then, like, as we were returning to reality, we were eating biscuits. I was just like, I don't want to go home. And I looked up and, like, made eye contact with a big, giant Garfield shirt that was like, I hate Mondays. And I was like, yeah, I know, Garfield. All right. I know that they suck, but that, like, transitions are rough, but, like, they're unavoidable. So you've got to go because there's delicious lasagna on the other side of the Monday. I get it. I'll go back home and I'll, you know, wah, wah, wah out of the portal and get back to life. But you're screwed now. You're going to see him everywhere because he's all over the place.
No, I can't fucking wait. So what was the thing? I know the answer to this because we've chatted, but tell our audience, what was the thing that got you hooked on why Garfield as an oracle? How did that happen?
Okay, so, like, yeah, the premise of our show, our show is that like Garfield as a, like, comedic vehicle, not the best. Like, it's just not super, like, if you're gonna, like, stack it up against other like art like Calvin and Hobbes, or even like lesser, you know, better, like just three panel comic strips, like Garfield, like it's like Jim's not even trying. The real hacky jokes, it's real, like, basic archetypal stuff. And and, like, we were like, well, the reason has to be that it's so ubiquitous is because, like, the universe is just using it to tell people stuff. Now, I mean, it's there for, like, it, so that it's all over the place, so that whenever, you know, we need to experience, the universe needs to give you, like, a smack to the head or a signpost, there's, like, Garfield's all over the place that it can use to do that. So that's the like premise of our show. And then you injected the words, to know one thing is to know everything, which is we're going to come back to again and again and again and again, because that's what we've been doing. However,
oh my God, I
the
love
reason
that.
That we weirdly that we got to it when Paul and I started podcasting, we just, like, got microphones and we're like, we're going to do a podcast. And the premise of that first show was to just make a different podcast about something different every week. And we were like, all right. Week one, we're going to invent a conspiracy theory. And we invented this weird conspiracy theory about Garfield and General Lafayette and aliens and the Illuminati and nonsense. and then Garfield just wouldn't disappear. He constantly came back up in that podcast. And eventually we were like, all right, if we're just going to do a Garfield podcast, let's just do a Garfield podcast.
Oh,
and
man,
we did
I
it.
Love this.
And, like, that sort of coincided with the fifth spiritual reawakening I've had in my life. And it's really coincided with me sort of, like, starting to define and hone my craft, for lack of a better term.
Okay. 18 questions.
Yep.
Number one, I want to hear about the spiritual awakening.
Sure.
Fifth one. Like, I want to know what that means to you and what that looks like to you. And number two is, I also want to know, like, what were your spiritual experiences pre-Garfield? Like, what was kind of, like, your headspace around, I don't know, the universe and how it works and doo-doo-doo-doo before that? And, like, how did you even get to that? Were you a kid having spiritual experiences? Did you do a bunch of drugs in high school? Like, what got it all?
Word. So, I mean, I was raised, like I said, in the Presbyterian church, and we were, like, church people. PCUSA. Relatively mellow for, like, I'm from Northwest Georgia, and, like, so I didn't get shame, like, hammered into my head, but it was definitely, like, sprinkled on every meal, you know. It was a whole lot of, like, oh, da-da, don't be horny, and I was like, well, that's a problem, I seem to be quite horny. but I mean, even before puberty, I was like, I dug it. Like, I liked church, the idea of, like, things beyond the veil. And, like, I've always had an active imagination and, like, imaginary friends. And, like, you know, I, like, fever dreams never freaked me out. I was like, I'd be like, oh, that was cool. You know, all right. We just, like, things got thin and weird and real for a minute. And when I was growing up, I wanted to be a preacher. Like, I wanted to get, because one, he gets to do all the talking in church instead of sitting in the pew drawing on your program and being bored. And that's the actor in me was like, well, if everybody's going to be looking at somebody while we're here in this big theater, like, I'm, you know, come on. I'm like, I'm in the choir and that's cool. But, like, seems to me like I could talk about this. You know, I could tell stories about Jesus too. And then the other one was just like, I assumed that there was like a secret room somewhere, you know, with an, like an eternal flame in it and like things going on. And I was like, I want to get to the stuff. And, this is a stand-up bit that I have about like the day that I went through training to be an acolyte, which is in the tradition, just like a kid who gets to put on a robe and brings in like a, you know, he lights the candles before church starts. And I'm there and I've like trained, and like during the training, they're talking about, you know, this is the responsibility of like, you are bringing the light of Christ and the Lord and God, like into church. You are starting the ceremony. And I was like, this is a huge responsibility. And I go outside and I've got my, I forget the name of the wick torch thing. And I go out there, like, just go outside and talk to, we'll call her Peg. And I go out and I was like, all right, I'm ready. And Peg pulls an orange Bic lighter out of her pocket, fires up a Virginia Slim 100, and then holds the flame out to me. And I was like, that's it. that's the light. And like saying it now, I'm like, well, yeah, of course it is, man. Cause like it's fire. So like, sure. But yeah, I don't know. That started me sort of being bored with church. I was like, all right, if you guys don't have secret rooms and really truly interesting nonsense, and you seem to be like, everybody seems to be half into this, and like that was the veil dropping and being like, oh, it's a social club. All right, this is a networking space, and we got to make sure that everybody's taken care of. Okay, cool. Yeah, and then I went to like a bookstore and found the Tao Te Ching, and that was it. And I was like, all right. Then I started like get some Eastern wisdom in my head, and like, you know, I've gone piecemeal there and back. I mean, for years now.
It seems like the Tao Te Ching is that's a perfect sort of another version of the type of oracling you do, which is to just take a set of informational packets and put them in a space and then decide, today I need to read this one.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, it's weirdly like fortune cookie.
Not decide, but like to conjure today.
I would read it by thumbing through it. Like I would pick it up and like thumb through it and be like, all right, this is my meditation today. Absolutely.
Right. That reminds me, when we did your episode, when I was on your podcast, the three panels that came up.
Yeah.
That was amazing. I listened to it, by the way.
It was really pretty shattering.
I don't even know if we want to describe it. I kind of want people to go listen to your
podcast.
You
should go check it out. But like, I mean, we don't always, there are episodes where we have to do like work to get to, we're like, okay, all right, this is Garfield punting Odie into the middle distance for like being near him. What are you telling us today?
You got this one of those shockingly Katie Rubin-esque, that's funny. Katie Rubin-esque style, like, here is the world presenting you a thing to show you a sign that gives you information in a very clear, concise, no bullshit way.
Yeah, it was a very spiritual three-panel Garfield. It was very like, namaste, brothers. It had a whole vibe about it that was like,
there's nothing
funny
about it. It was just very...
No, just very calm.
Also, I'll add, that's when I was in Baltimore, is when we taped that. And that, Baltimore and Asheville are, I will definitively state publicly right now, portals of two different varieties. Baltimore tripped me out the degree of portaliness that it was. I think I already talked about this.
Is Baltimore where you met the bartender who was like, oh yeah, the Akashic Records?
Yeah, exactly. And where I was giving a healing session to a woman who lived 5 minutes from where I was on. I'm on the phone in a hotel and she's like, you know, I live down the street from there, right? And we had booked the session months before, weeks before. No idea I was going to be in Baltimore, let alone that she's 5 seconds away. She's in Baltimore, this client. Then in the session, the whole session is about repairing the Baltimore portal, which the bartender was familiar with. He goes like, I go, why do you live in Baltimore? You're so interesting and creative. He goes, yeah, people think I'm crazy, but I think this place is a portal. And I was like, I just repaired your portal. I just repaired it. Anyway, that was trippy. So when we taped our thing, I was sitting on that portal.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, fucking A. So, okay. So back to, you said I had my fifth reawakening. Like, what do those look like for you?
So like, I went back and forth, you know, and like with the church, I went back and forth a couple times. I went to a weird I went to college at a place called Suwannee, which is the University of the South. It is a 10,000 acre campus with 1,500 kids on it on top of a mountain on the Cumberland Plateau in Tennessee. It's like going to Hogwarts if the Wizards were Episcopalian and not whatever they are. Like, seriously, we wore gowns to class. It was a very far out, weird place. We wore gowns to class. Like, when you hit, like, through, you earned your gown at a certain point with grades and behavior, mostly grades. And, but yeah, you know, like, so I wore my big flowing gown to school, like, and walked through the fog to these big, the whole school's based on Oxford, right? So it's like these big Gothic sandstone buildings. Who's just like really going to wizard college?
But what's the college's idea about the value of the robe? What's it for?
So it just lets people know that you're like you. It earns you some privileges, like like attendance isn't a thing. It's just assumed that you're getting to. And it used to do when it started. It had to do with like it got you out of like drilling at the military academy. I mean, it's a 120 year old. But now it's just like you have to earn your gown before you can graduate, and it's mostly a GPA to how long you've been at the school ratio, and it gets like it lowers and lowers and lowers. Like before, like your last semester, senior year, if you haven't earned your gown yet, they're like, "Look, pass your classes, and we'll give you a gown," and like you get to leave. But so it's a you know, it's just a thing that says I'm taking Suwannee seriously.
Okay, but when you have your gown,
yeah,
once you've earned it, do you wear it every day to class?
Some people wear it every day. Some people are required to wear it every day. There are like fraternities up there that are like, yeah, if you've got your gown, you wear it. There are people that wear coat and ties, but I wore it every day because it's fun. Like, it's a, you know, so
what
I mean, I earned
hell?
It.
Hell, why have nobody's ever told us about this place?
It's a weird place, man.
Oh, okay, so you're going back and forth. You said you believed in things, then you didn't.
Yeah, it's never been belief disbelief. It's always been. I mean, like I say at the beginning of my podcast, Cosmic Traveler and Seeker of Truth. Like I'm always looking. I'm always like I'm absolutely like if there's a burning bush and it's talking, I'm gonna be like, "Sup, bush?" And that's before I started doing drugs. It was always gonna be like if I walked into like a theater and felt some weird energy. I've spent lots of time in theaters and they're all kind of full of ghosts and energy, and churches the same way. Like I like to sit in that and like listen to it and talk to it and be like, yo, hit me up. And like, I absolutely like, I had an experience one time at Suwannee where like there's a huge chapel and I was like in the middle of like a big crisis. And I just like, I was a hero in a fucking Aaron Sorkin movie, walked in at 2 a.m. into the chapel and started yelling at God. And this is on no drugs. The like statue on the thing started talking to me, and maybe I was in an agitated state or maybe the stone came alive. I don't know. But I was in there having like a conversation with, you know, Jesus, the Jesus statue about like my life, and no one walked in. I don't know what they would have seen, but I was having a chat with the statue.
Okay, wait, mm-hmm. Real quick. Do you mean that literally you would look at the stone statue and you saw its mouth moving?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like I was in Ghostbusters 2, yeah.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, it was far out. It was one of those things where like, but again, like I had also at that point in my life, I'm primed for this. I've like primed for like the first time I did do psychoactive drugs and like a tree just like turned to me and like grew a face like we were in Pocahontas and it was like, hi. I was like, sup, hello tree, let's have a chat. I've just sort of been ready. I think I mentioned that the like Terrence McKenna would call them transdimensional machine elves as well. These like light beings that exist like behind a DMT experience, but also like I guess just in at their interval behind the veil. And yeah, like they've never, I've been primed to chat with them. And every time one has been like, hi, I've been like, hello. Yes. Hi. I would love information. I've always wanted that.
What were some of the other ones? You said you had five. I know your five was just a number you said, but yeah. But tell me others. Yeah.
So, yeah. So like I'm at Suwannee and like, it's a weird place and I have some experiences like that. And also just like, really, it's a beautiful place. And like a lot of like, you know, just like more like, the wind is blowing, the sun is out. I'm looking, I feel at one and at peace and very like, you know, like I'm being spoken to by the current of the universe as opposed to like, you know, like a face walking out, you know, as opposed to a dryad walking out of a tree and having a chat with me.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. And then
what about post there?
Post there, sure. I got lost a lot of it when I was in Nashville, Tennessee, which was like a weird, dark time for me. Started writing country music and being weird. I never meant to go there. I moved there because of a girl, and then we broke up because, duh, you're in a country song now, asshole. And then I lived a country song for like 5 years. What's up?
I believe it. So this trip, okay, that I just took where I drove to New York and back again, when I left Baltimore, I went down to North Carolina to a beach for a day and a half. Then I went across to Asheville. Then I went through Tennessee, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Texas, New Mexico, Colorado. And the thing was,
what a drive. It's flat.
It's such a drive. So flat. But here's the trip that you mentioned Tennessee. Tennessee and Arkansas were like, I don't want to disparage sections of our country, but I will, because they were so terrible. The energy all across there, particularly close to Memphis, I swear to God, I almost got gang mugged 3 different times at 3 different gas stations in different parts of near Memphis and Arkansas. It was not good energy. So when you say that, I'm like, that's not wrong. And then to wrap it up, I get through Oklahoma, I get through Texas, and it's like, okay, these are places. This is happening. Then I drop into New Mexico, and it was literally like, like I dropped back to the earth. The universe expanded. I could feel God again, because that fucking New Mexico and Colorado, the southwest corner, man, this shit is steeped in the light of the divine. And this just the weirdness of, there's literally a line in the sand, a moment in the drive where it's like, poof, poof, and you drop immediately into that, away from Tennessee nonsense.
I'd say you drive into it about, poof, I'd say on the other side of the Natchez Trace Parkway if you're driving out of Nashville, because like Central Tennessee has got some good vibes. It's weird. It's complicated vibes because it's Andrew Jackson vibes, man. And it's also James K. Polk vibes. And it's Nashville's a strange place because it's the Athens of the South, right? So you've got to take the like intense, like headiness of Athens, but also the like nod to like mythology, which is there. I mean, there's just a big ass giant Parthenon that I lived next to. I used to just smoke weed and go stare at a 50-foot statue of Athena all the time, constantly. It was right around the corner from my house. And I just chat with her. It was a great park to eat mushrooms in too. And just because it was chill and also like intense. But yeah, you've got both of those things going on, then plus like all of the baggage of being in the Southeast United States, just all of that.
Of course. So you go to Tennessee, those are dark times. Take me to your next couple spiritual awakenings.
Eventually I just moved up here. And like, so where I'm at now is I started.
Where is here?
I'm in Brooklyn, New York now.
Okay.
Famously. a portal.
Don't you all know that? Well, it's close to one apparently.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, right up the river. The beacon is just up the river. But, Brooklyn's a heady place for lots of reasons, just because of the melting pottery and it's a crossroads. So everybody's here. But it wasn't really that. It's like I had a rough relationship with my brother for a while and opened back up to him. And he's been running around in, I don't know if I said this, as I said this before we started recording, that he's in like Crestone, Colorado, which is like big portal intenseness. And he's part of, he can't go to Burning Man anymore because it's too commercial, you know? And, just having conversations with him all the time and then like sharing books and knowledge and some podcasts that I got into. And basically what I got to is that I found the idea of like Western magic, chaos magic, left-hand path magic. And I was like, this is it. This is the thing that I have been thinking about my whole life. This idea of like doing magic, of like tying ritual to intention and blasting it into the universe, which is like super duper close to be like just getting a theater degree. I was like, this is it. Because what are you doing when you're being an actor other than like getting rid of yourself, invoking another life form and presence, walking around in it and then thanking it for its service and banishing it? That's putting a mask on and taking a mask off every night.
That sounds to me like the culmination of your work at Hogwarts of the South and than your theater work, bringing them together into.
Can you define for us those three different things you said? Left hand magic, something magic, something magic?
I am working my way towards being able to really well define them, but yes. So like the big difference between like Western magic and Eastern transcendental thoughts is that you're trying to reach, as I understand it, in Eastern schools, you're trying to get to a space of enlightenment, but over many, many lifetimes. It's, you know, you get to where you need to be and your consciousness goes back up and runs around on Indra's web and drops into another droplet and you experience another life. And you do that until your consciousness gets to join the great consciousness. The Western idea, because this is how we fucking do it over here, is that you fucking cram all of that into one metal solo of a like a transcendental experience in one lifetime.
Sure.
It's the electric guitar version, as opposed to the sitar version of spirituality.
And what does that look like? What does that mean?
Right. So what it looks like when you talk to the difference between left hand and right hand path magic, and then chaos magic is where I tend to sit, which sort of sits in the middle. The easiest way I think to talk about those is that right hand path is very ritual specific for specific ends. And the right hand path stuff is what you start talking about when you're talking about Aleister Crowley and the Golden Dawn. And this is the stuff that people are on about. You can absolutely get on YouTube right now and see how somebody's claiming that the Illuminati is using coronavirus as a massive, it was just an excuse to get the number 6 everywhere. And this is a giant magic ritual to get 6 feet everywhere. These giant magic ritual to like basically bring about the next collapse of civilization. That's usually where I'm like, all right, fine. Left hand path, much more woo, to put it succinctly, is that it's much more like, listen, everybody's doing magic all the time. If you're like from, you know, if you get up and you look into your shirt drawer and you go, all right, what color am I going to be today? I'm going to be red. And you get out red, and whatever red means to you, you are now, you're a red wizard today, and you go out and you red. And it's a little more, I think, I mean, I guess just transcendental is the best word for it, I guess.
And what are the kind of like teachings of it, or what's the goal of it? What does it teach you to want or do or pursue?
I mean, I guess it's about controlling your actions and your environment a little more, and not only just controlling them, but also doing what the universe needs you to be doing, and sort of getting in touch with the source of your power and then asking that what it needs you to do, so that you can go out and you can, you know, fulfill your destiny, for lack of a, to just keep being Disney movie about it.
No, that's my whole jam right there. That's my life, is that.
Chaos is just that, like, it doesn't mean like fucking anarchy. It chaos is, I'm gonna actually.
I bet I know what you're gonna say. Here would be my guess. Can I guess what it is?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, just that, like, because, yeah, people often confuse chaos and anarchy, but chaos would be like, I guess like my theory, my guess would be it'd be something like that which appears to be chaotic is actually quite ordered. And inside the chaos is like the miraculous web of interconnectedness of all things.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. There's so much of that. Yes. Is that like, also, it's just a fucking acronym that stands for confidence, honor, attentiveness, organization, and sensitivity. So.
Oh, okay.
Which
Can you
sounds,
say it again?
Sounds rad. Yes, absolutely. Confidence, which is the like, there's your, the wizard that can, there's your slam your wizard staff into the ground and the Red Sea parts for you, right? Honor, attentiveness, organization, sensitivity. Confidence is mostly about being up and out and open. Honor is mostly about like being true to your word, because the more you are true to your word, the more powerful your word becomes. Things like, if I tell you that we're going to have brunch tomorrow, we're going to have brunch tomorrow, because I need the universe to respect that when I say something's going to happen, it happens. Attentiveness is being aware of the response from the universe coming back to you shortly. And then organization is about like the work that you do, actually sitting down and like, just like, I mean, that's the meditating and looking at candles and the drawing sigils and the blasting them forth and the making crystal grids and the absolute stuff that makes people's eyes roll into the back of their heads of any of these traditions, you know, if you're being cynical. And then sensitivity is, I imagine you can, you know, you're just, that's the like Eastern shut up, be aware, stillness, get rid of your ego, sit, listen. So that's what I'm working on. those are the things I'm working on right now in my life.
And did we miss any of the, I'm really wanting to hear the sort of signpost spiritual awakening moments. Did we miss any of those in your journey?
I don't know if there are any like big ones. Oh, there was the, okay. Well, there was the summer I was going to be a Christian missionary. That was a big one too. When I'd gone back into it. This is the girlfriend that I would go to Nashville and break up with, influence of her. And I was on a call. With I don't know if this is a spiritual awakening or not, but I was on a phone call with this like group of people who were like, you know, they just want to go build houses for people, but they also want to like Bible beat. And they definitely, the first, they were like, all right, first question, Alex, we're so happy to have you. We're so excited. You've got like your girlfriend was great last summer. We're excited to have you on board. First question, easy question. The Holy Bible is the unassailable word of God, right? Right. And I was like, no, that's ridiculous. And I think that was the end of that. The rest of the interview did not go well. And so that was sort of me, like, I don't know, transitioning back out of, like, I don't know. I you know, you look for a tribe and you look for people to like that you want to just be like, yes, to when you're having a conversation about like the universe, you want to just be like, yes, 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 that's great. Even if they're a Catholic priest and I'm a wizard, like you want to just be like having a chat, which my roommate from college is going to be the Pope one day. It's going to be awesome. I'm very excited. He's on the path to be a bishop, and like, it's going to be really cool to tell stories about how me and the Pope ate mushrooms. But we have great conversations still. And this guy's a hardcore, intense Catholic priest. But yeah, I don't think there were any other, like, I don't think, and again, I don't think, I have where I am for me, I don't think where my relationship with the universe is, I don't think that I'm going to get a whole lot of big watershed, massive things. Now, you might open the records for me and fucking blow my whole goddamn mind apart in 10 minutes, but I don't know where we're going today, but I'm ready for it. But yeah, it's been a hot minute since like a big signpost. I think it's been pretty gradual. The last 6 or 7 years has been like very much like me building a thing and putting a thing together and like looking at the house getting bigger and bigger.
That makes sense. Right. What's your relationship with, like, where do you stand right now with the dynamism between receiving, surrender and receiving, and action and intention? You know how, like, so a lot of what I heard you say about chaos magic seems to be like, I decide, I do it, I control, me and the universe, but I'm in charge. But then what I know is, in order for a lot of that to happen, you've got to have a lot of the receiving and a lot of the surrender. Like, yeah, I can make stuff happen as long as it's in alignment and as long as I'm, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's exactly it. To like, I think that it's like, I can be a vessel for that current. And like, I just, like, there are Garfields all over the place for the universe to use as the universe sees fit. I am just another one of those. There are wizards everywhere for the universe to use as the universe sees fit. And like, the idea for me is to make myself as powerful as a vessel as I can, to be used, not necessarily how I want to be used, but how I need to be used to fulfill things that I have suspected are the purposes that I'm here. But, you know, we'll see.
How do you know when you're being used and when you're not?
I mean, you can feel it, right? I mean, you can feel it when you're in the zone. I mean, like, that's, you know, if you're a jazz musician and you're just in it, like, you're being used. For me, it's like if I'm on stage and you just disappear, or like if I'm reading tarot for somebody and like I don't fucking know where the words are coming from, I'm just like, you're just absolutely, you're in the current, man. Like, you just got it. The power's coming through you. I mean, like, you've, like, you know, I imagine y'all have been to concerts before and you just like are absolutely, I saw y'all know Alabama Shakes at all? Brittany Howard of the Alabama Shakes. Man, I saw her play live one time and it was like the fucking sky had opened up. And it was just one of those things where like, you're just like in the presence of it. And I was like, I don't think she knows. I don't think she could tell you her name right now. Just laid out. And like, you know, I've been like that. I've been like that in a room full of 15 people doing a stand-up comedy set and just been like, oh man, I don't know where I hit, but like I put the right shirt on and I did the right meditations and I had organized myself. I was being attentive. I was being organized. I was being sensitive. I was being confident and like, pow. And like, there you are, you're in it. And like, all of a sudden that's the kind of like awareness that you can have to walk up to the fucking Pharaoh of Egypt and be like, hey, we're leaving.
I have a question for both of you on that. I think that is amazing. And there's something that I heard when I was watching that conversation go on, which is sort of this balance between you do work, like Katie, you have a client and it's your job, you know, in a sense, it's your calling, but it's also your job that you have assigned yourself, you know, and you're like, okay, they're paying me. This is the clock and this is me showing up and I do these practices and I have particular steps that I take in order to do those things and I get a result, whatever that result is. And same thing in a day-to-day job, like I rehearse for a play and I get ready or Katie and I do improv together. And sometimes we just go and we do it and it's fine. It's fucking fine. We did our job, but we weren't in some other place. And so it's not like we're against the service of the universe in those moments. And Katie, I don't know if it's true when you're doing a client, for example, there are times when you just do like, yeah, I just did a thing and they were there and I did it and it was fine. And then there are the moments where that's more like you were doing tasks that were not counter to your path,
right,
but they weren't necessarily in the path.
You're not in the zone and you're not like flying on the high, amazing zone of all things.
And then that brings up like when we're doing, go back to the improv thing, like when we have magic happen, which does not happen all the time, happens a percentage of the time when we have magic happen, do we think that that is an example of us serving our higher calling?
Okay, I have a point of view about this that I'm very willing to have change and evolve all the time. I mean, this has changed for me a lot over the years. I think I could safely say that when I was younger, like with all the acting jobs I did, all the theater, all the improv, all the stand-up, all of it, was seeking the kind of like activated high of being in the flow with my thing. And then I had to kind of step away from I had like an addictive relationship to that.
Sure.
High. And I didn't know who I was without that high and without being in that flow. Right.
It's what the movie The Mask is about. Yeah.
Oh, I hear that. That's interesting. We should come back to that. So then I got really into surrender and becoming whole and having peace and discovering like, what is it to be a person who's not pursuing, like, I guess the way I would think of it is like when basketball players are in the zone, they're just like killing it and they just fly in and then you dunk and then all the magic or whatever. I needed to find out what life was without all of that. And so currently with my clients, like pretty much every session, something transcendent and amazing happens. It's not always that feeling of like, oh, that was amazing. We nailed it. That was perfect. Though I do love that. And I find myself right now, it's funny you asked this, right now coming back around to missing that a lot and being like, part of what needs to happen next in my personal life is I need more of like flying high on the high waves of like killing it. But I'll put it to you this way. Moving here to Mancus and getting the energetic transmission of this particular portal, which is very yin and very feminine, very womb-based, and I've talked about it a lot. I am like a constant walking, like the numbers talk to me all the time. I've talked to you guys about this. Like I get now that I'm just like a walking beacon, for lack of a less arrogant term, of light. I'm just like carrying the light everywhere I go. And so it's kind of answered the question for me of like, do I need to be like peak experiencing it to be with God? Definitely not. Because I'm sitting here with you guys pretty chill right now. And like, I am the light and I could transmit it to you. And there you have it. Now, do I miss that peak experience thing? I really do. And I find myself going like, let's go for some of that now.
I think, to let the basketball. Okay. So Michael Jordan used to talk about when he was in the zone, the goal would get like five times. It was just like huge. It was like he was thrown into a hula hoop.
So
but
cool.
Also, he would say that he would get that shooting free throws in his backyard too for himself. And it's not necessarily just when everybody's looking. So it's nice to be able to like go to that place when everybody's looking and that's great. But it was also like, yeah, he was just like, you know, when you're in the flow for yourself and draining it. And I think I don't know if this was your, if you're saying you're looking for more of the like killing it in the, you know, Brittany Howard on the, on stage going nuts. But I think that's because you're, it's so important to become what you've become, right? If you're carrying the light all of the time, then you're carrying the light all of the time, whether or not you're with one person or we're broadcasting it right now, or you're in front of a room. And like the responses to that are always going to be different because one person responds to it different than an audience of millions wondering if you're going to win the NBA championship responds to it. You know, I don't know. I think for me, what I'm working on very much is trying to get to where you're at now. I'm trying to find that place of like, yeah, just for me, like thinking and being connected and going when no one's looking. Because I very much, one of my problems is the like, is that if, you know, if a tree falls in the woods, it's like, you know, if I'm connected to the universe and doing magic and no one's looking at it, am I even a fucking wizard? Like,
right, right.
Yeah.
That's yeah, the big free it. Energy of like, of yeah, like I need it to be recognized in order for it to exist.
Right.
I think there's something lately I've been really sitting with this. It's fun that we're talking about it because I've been going, I'm really examining what is it about that, because I got so far away from the, what I would call the toxic egoic need for approval or need for validation of like, am I worthy right now? 100%. I solved that one. Do I love myself now? Solved it. Do I feel whole and peaceful? Solved it. What I've discovered though, is that I, this is my theory. I don't know. I don't really know, but my theory is that like some of us, like I'm glad I did all that work. I think I really needed to do it because I didn't like feeling dependent upon a job to make me feel okay about myself. I wanted to get to that place of like, I'm just okay. And if I sat here forever, I'd be fine. And I got that. However, what I'm coming to is like, I think some of us have particular, I'm going to go with dharma, where we have certain abilities to communicate to people. We have, like you guys can be on stage and do that well. Not everybody can do that. I can be on stage and do that well. I also can teach to like thousands of people and do it in a big, very visible way. That's a rare thing. I also can show up to TV auditions and like nail them and be on a TV show. So it's sort of like, I think there is a certain, they say in the 12-step programs, like when you, if you want to build self-esteem, you have to do esteemable acts in your life. And I find that like do esteemable acts. And that doesn't mean like go be a missionary. It means do anything that gives you esteem. That
get up and like make your bed every day, man. That's exactly, right out of 12 steps. It's a big
exactly.
one for me.
Make the bed, make some tea for your neighbor, pet your dog. Any of that can be esteemable.
Yep.
What I'm discovering is that I think a large part of my dharma, my three-dimensional work in the world, is I need to be speaking to big groups of people. I need to be in front of people being watched doing my thing.
It's what the and universe really, needs you to do.
It's that's it. And I just, I think like I just needed to know what wholeness felt like separate from that, you know? And I've realized that you can have wholeness and still not be fully satisfied because if the universe needs you to do X, Y, Z, you're going to need to do that in order to feel satisfied.
Sure.
So how do you, that big challenge is figuring that is like, I think a lot of actors are like, I'm an actor. It's my identity. But maybe it's not
such a brutal identity to have too. Because if your identity is to be able to fucking rip yourself out and then,
but stuff like you had to step away from having the identity of someone who's going to get up in front of a lot of large kind of group of people in order to find your wholeness. But now your identity is the wrong word. But maybe. But then now returning to that. Oh, that's actually my calling, or that's actually my universal job now.
Yeah, but you're pointing to a really important distinction. Doing it from a place of it's my identity is super different from doing it from a place of like, oh, I guess I need to do this.
Oh, exactly.
But the challenge
you
is,
said it.
How do you know?
You said, I you know. Also said my calling
I know how.
Too. How?
Yeah.
How?
Well, what do you mean actually, Cassidy? How do you know? How do you know what?
Well, I, excuse me. Swallowed my saliva.
Yeah, I know where I'm coming from. I like know.
And is that, was that, but yeah, I think I understand. When I say, how do you know? It's like we have the levels of oh, this is my calling. I'm going to be on Broadway type of energy. And that, but that's false ego, version bullshit, of the calling. Yeah. Right. And so you have to go through the space of step away from that, remove that, go to the center of the self and the core. And then all that work you did to build up that identity-based one, that ego-based version of it, is still going to serve you later on when you find out that that actually is your true calling,
yeah,
from a deeper spiritual, calmer place.
Yeah. So what's the question, though?
There is no question. I guess I wasn't saying, how do you know, Katie? I was saying, like, the challenge for a human journey is to know the difference between...
That's true.
Between desire and calling, or between what I think I want and making that my identity, and what the universe or Dharma or whatever the fuck it is actually saying, no, this is your Dharma.
And that's the work, right? Like, that's the work. Like, that's that, the thing you've got to put in. I think that's the, you got to go up and sit on top of the mountain and listen to the universe. And like, you can't always do that. So sometimes you have to light a candle in your bedroom and look at it. And sometimes you just have to pick up a crystal and fucking stick it on your forehead and be like, all right, selenite, what do you do? And like, or just meditate, or just breathe. And, you know, and until the universe, until something that isn't you, that you're, you know, goes, hey, man, you got to go back down the mountain and tell other people about what it's like up here.
Yeah. Yeah. I also think, like, I think something, I like this, Cass, this like discussion, because another thing that helps me a lot is the difference between satisfaction, feeling satisfied, versus chasing something to fill a void that without which you don't feel okay or whole or peaceful. I think whole and peaceful are great words to look at with regard to, am I whole and peaceful no matter what I do? And then if you go, because all the spiritual traditions talk about wholeness and peace, like, to know thyself, to know the Lord is to know thyself, to know thyself is to know the Lord, to know the light is to know yourself. The point being, the more the light comes through, the more you have of yourself. And then that's happening at the grocery store or at an audition or wherever.
Right.
And then satisfaction comes from, like, universe said, go do this thing. You did it. You nailed it. And you're like, fuck yeah. Thanks, universe. I did that for you. And I think that's the other piece. Who is it for?
I mean, there's what's the first step in this 12 steps too, is to surrender to the higher power. Yeah.
Who is it for? And the thing is, that brings us back to your question, Cass. Like, when you go, if I say, I'm doing all this because God is telling me to, for me personally, I needed it to be that. I'm an Aquarius with Pisces moon, Sag rising. There is nothing in my world that's ever going to be not of the spirit, because it has to be, because I'm made up that way. So for me, I needed to answer the question, like, I need to A, know what God's will is. Like, what does God fucking want? And B, like, I need to be sure of the difference between what I want and what it wants and where they blend. And so, like, you know, hence three healing schools and all the things, you know. But my point being.
Awesome. I love that it's your whole deal. It's like, I just want to get up in its face.
I have to. Me too, dude.
Let's talk, screaming at the statue. Like,
yeah, exactly. But see, you're an Aquarius.
Yeah. And so it's like every single time it's like, hey, buddy, shut up. I'm doing stuff. You maybe need to calm down. Like, fine.
Well, so, but I think what I'm trying to emphasize for people is that some of us really need to understand this question about ego and higher self. And I don't think everybody fucking does.
No.
No, people are not ready. People are not interested. Like, some people are, and some people are a little bit interested and a little bit ready. But I had to, like, have real clarity about it. Otherwise, it felt too inauthentic and out of alignment to be like, my identity is actor. No, it fucking isn't. My identity is wind. My identity is, like, nothingness and light and space and flow. And now from that, sure, do you want to, let's do some acting, because that's fun and the universe seems to like me when I'm there.
Yeah. All the vibrations that are making up the thing that's calling itself Alex at the moment like to pretend that they're an actor sometimes because that's what they have been put together to do.
This is reminding me of a story from a long time ago, but I just would love to share it for a moment. And it has to do with, like, that deep knowing versus that desire to grab, or that intentional whatever
grasping.
And I mean, you know, Katie,
is that Kismet?
It's that Squeezal.
Squeezal's Kismet's the cat. Hey, Squeezal.
Yeah. Go.
lost my train of thought. It's fine. Squeezle always says that. It's perfect. Squeezle arrives when Squeezle needs to arrive. I'll just go back to the beginning of the story. I was going to frame it up. But when I was in college, we had a lecture. We were reading a book of like comparative religions written by Houston Smith, who is like the big name in comparative religions. He's this huge name. And he happened to also be a friend of our professor. So he brought him in. And that was amazing. Like Houston Smith was just hanging out in our little seminar. And we were asking him questions about, in Judaism, whatever. And he was like this big star. But he's also a mystic, and he doesn't talk about that in his writing. But he had to let us know. He says, when a mystical experience is occurring for me, I will cry, and I have no control over it, just so you know. Don't freak out. So I'm all intellectual, college student. This is 30 years ago, and I was all like, I've got this question for the guy. And I say to the guy, I don't fucking know what the question was. It had to do with like, I read this detail in the first version of the King James, but you know, some technical, gotcha on religion question. And he just stops me and he goes, I'm sorry. And he just starts fucking crying. And he says, see, it makes me cry. He says, in what you do or are planning to do, is your voice important? Your voice, your actual voice. And I said, yeah, I'm an actor. He goes, good. Cause that's it. That was it. He had his own mystical channel that told me at that moment, by crying, that voice was what I needed. That was my, in a sense, he was like giving me the mission. Free or whatever, that happened. I was like, good, because I'm an actor. Okay, I'm going to be an actor. Forgot about that for years. Then as I start to return to sort of spiritual work and more like getting into like noticing myself, I become aware that when I speak truth, I cry. And you've seen it happen every time. If I speak like a real truth, under a spiritual truth, I'll start to cry. I'll tear up. And I just did it again because I was remembering this story. Anyway, this is all to say, I think this is my version of framing up like, that's knowing versus grasping. Like, I still am failing to like fully be present to the story of like, yeah, I just want to be an actor because I want people to look at me. That is also true.
Sure.
But those peak moments of connection to speaking voice, using voice to deliver something, is where I have the spiritual truth. So that is universe speaking through me. And more recently, somebody literally told me, they just said, yeah, you're being a spiritual teacher. And I started bawling because I didn't know I wanted that, or I didn't know that meant anything to me, mainly about the podcast. But like, anyway, that's just a lot of words to say, like, the difference between thinking you have a job to do because it's cool to be an actor and having that underneath feeling of like, no, that's what you fucking are supposed to be doing. Some version. I don't know if it's actor, but it is like speaking words to people.
Well, yeah. You're like ready, carry the light all the time so that like when the universe needs you to fucking throw the light somewhere, you can do it. You're there to just right. like, yeah.
And according and like, to Houston Smith's experience, it's my voice.
Yeah, that's rad. I think it's, I do want to say it is, I think in talking about the like, the difference between how do you know that you're doing what the universe needs you to do? Also, like, it's important to acknowledge how it's like insanely dangerous that is too, because if you decide that you're doing something for the universe, but you're not, that's where all the problems start, right? And it's just like, this is a big thing in magical thinking, is that like there's just warning posts everywhere, and everything you read and everyone you listen to is like, hey, the second you start thinking you're God, stop. Like, start thinking that you're in power and that you're in control, or that you're like, okay, I've got this magical voice and I can do whatever I want with it. Like, it's just important. Like, there's...
I would have to agree deeply with that. And that comes back to the principle of surrender to me.
Yes.
Like, that's the other piece of it for me, is this whole thing is like, I mean, daily I'm brought to my knees like several times a day. And it's always because I just have nothing left in me that goes, I know, and I'm doing this. Everything is like, I'm either guided and I do it, or it doesn't happen. You know, there's nothing claiming it. Okay. Now this brings up an interesting topic though. And I do want to hear your guys' thoughts on this. The difference between claiming, how do I say, owning what you are and what your abilities are versus thinking you're in control of God's universe. Right? So if I go like, hey world, I market all the time. I'm an energy healer. Book a session. Here's why you would do that. You know, I'm doing that a lot.
I've seen your headshots on your website.
Yeah. You gotta
do it.
Market your business. Yeah, yep. Exactly.
Or the light's not gonna get where the light needs to get.
That's the thing. And so I have to claim it in a pretty intense way in order for people to, I have to be like, no, I do this and I'm a wizard and it's pretty kind of amazing actually. And I mean, I've gotten to this place where I'm like, okay, God clearly needs me to own it. Otherwise, it, like you said, the light doesn't get to go where the freaking light needs to go. You got to be like, I'm a badass actor or you can't act. You have to be like, I'm funny or you can't tell jokes.
Confidence.
There it is.
That's the C.
There it is, baby. There it is. So that the difference between that and being like a narcissist who's deluded and thinks they run the universe and there's no God and there's no higher force and it's all up to you and it's all about you. It's a interesting fine line, don't you think?
Yeah, open mics suck shit. Open mics are the absolute worst. This is full of people who are like, behold my point of view.
Look,
I've got it.
Behold my point of view.
Yes.
But what I find fascinating,
the thoughts of Derek. You know how women be like.
Women be different from dudes. When you get to like high levels of anything in the world, I notice that like high levels of politics, high levels of acting, high levels of investment banking, whatever it is, I find the following thing to be true: that high levels of anything are made up of amazing, humble, wizard, kind, connected, generous, spiritually aligned people and narcissists.
And Jedis and Siths, sure. Yeah. To be absolute dork about it. Yeah.
That's it. And because the same thing is required of both, which is you have to believe in it. You have to believe in either the light and the fact that you're carrying forth a fucking message of light and you have a gift and you're going to hold it with your heart open in humility and give it to the world. Or you have to believe you're God's gift to shit and you run shit. Either way, they believe and they get there because they believe.
This is essentially the difference. To come all the way back to it, what we're talking about is the difference between left hand and right hand path magic. That's like left hand is the like light giving connectedness there and right hand path is the fucking like I will bend the world to my will using the power of my rituals and my fucking like my intense like I am going to take 30 years to write all the tiny right sigils and I'm going to do all the right jizz and blood rituals and we're going to have orgies in this fucking castle that we've built to be a power pyramid and eventually Led Zeppelin's going to make an album in it and it's going to be rad. But like this is what I'm going to do and I'm going to bring forth the fucking the Third Reich is what happens at the end of that. It's not good.
Okay, wait. So what's it? That makes sense to me. What's the difference between black magic and right hand magic? Nothing?
Very little.
Okay.
Black magic is some fucking satanic panic terminology. That's not a thing.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is there are people I know who like work with some dark entities and dark beings because dark beings will make shit happen for you.
If you can get into it, if you want to get into like real like lesser key of Solomon, like drawing, like getting your brass vessel out and like drawing a big thing on like acting like you're in Buffy the Vampire Slayer and drawing like a big, you know, like this is stuff that I don't even begin to have the balls to do because it's heaven forbid I get a demon in my office. I wouldn't know what to do. Like there's no way I'm not powerful enough to get the demon into the brass vessel and then like make it do what I want it to do.
You'd call Katie is what you'd do.
That's when you call me.
Sure.
But the thing that I would do with it is like get it out of your field and make you more light.
Sure. Well, supposedly what Solomon was doing is like capturing them and making them do stuff for him.
No, 100%. I know people in this life, in right now times, who do that shit. They harness the power of demonic entities.
Yeah, they're powerful.
And I'm like, that is what narcissists are doing. We just call it narcissism.
I mean, it's negging. But isn't
it interesting how it fucking works?
Yeah.
It works.
It's still powerful. It's just aggressively powerful.
The price that you pay, I think, for doing those things is like, I don't. And you know what? Also, like, I'm not wired to do that. That's not what the fucking vibrations calling themselves Alex are like put together to do. Yeah. They're put together to like channel more, I mean, mostly joy and blast it out and to try to help people like look at life and go, I mean, that's where I'm at. Like, that's, I want the fucking cosmic yawp, man. Like, just this, like, whoa, or like, you know, just like, but I'm not here to harness jealousy and rage and hate and like get real nasty with a lightsaber. That ain't me.
I know. Well, I'm just acknowledging the fascination I have with how.
Yeah, they're out there.
They're at open mics. I know they are. That's why I don't go to those. But. It's what I'm acknowledging is that this fine line between owning what you are and getting out, like you say, getting out there with confidence in your humble, heart open state versus owning what you are from all these other places you can be. It's important. And I think why it interests me so much is that I myself have taken the journey from one of those to the other. I was a Sith Lord.
Yeah.
I fucking made shit happen straight from my negativity, my trauma, and my ego. And I was powerful at it.
Yeah.
And I hated how I felt.
Yeah, I've never enjoyed it. I mean, that's been a big part of like my journey for me is also, it's like switching my battery. Like to where we're talking about right now is that like a lot of my battery used to be like, I'll show you. You don't even know. I can do this. Like you said, I couldn't. Oh, look at me. You didn't think I was so hot. Look at me now. And like,
yeah, I call that
on my ass. Every time I try to come from that point, it's just no good to me. The universe is like, hey, dude,
the energy of proving.
Yes. Oh,
we talk about that a lot on this show. Just every time you're trying to prove a thing instead of do a thing or be with a thing.
Yeah, you're fucked.
Absolutely
boned, because the universe is like, I don't need you to prove anything. I made platypuses. I can do whatever I want. You shut up, Alex. Stop getting in my face and be quiet. I'll tell you. Do the work, man. You be organized, be sensitive, be attentive. Stay up, bro. Stay confident. Be doing the stuff. Be making sure you're the color of wizard you need to be today.
Alex.
Yes.
Would you like me to open your records? Because we have a certain amount of time left.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Well, and I apologize for interrupting you. That was coming from like me looking at the clock and going, we should dive in right now. Okay. So I'm just going to take you through it. We'll do an easy guided meditation. You've probably heard this, and I'll say your name in the Akashic Records prayer. And it would be great if you had specific questions you want to ask, or I can just see if they have any info for you, which I do think they will. And we can see if there's any energy that wants to transmit on your behalf, which maybe we'll see. But yeah, feel free to gather questions internally or yeah. Okay. What's your full legal name, Alex?
Raymond Alexander Murray.
Okay. Okay. Do you go by Alex or am I calling you the
wrong? No, Alex is it. Yeah.
Okay. Raymond Alexander Murray.
Mm-hmm.
Murray. Okay. All right, so we'll close our eyes for just a bit here. We'll take a few conscious breaths into the low belly. Connecting down to the pelvic floor, the base of the spine. Allowing the chest to soften and the shoulders to soften and the heart to open just a bit wider. And as we continue to breathe low in the body, inhaling and filling that low belly, exhaling and releasing from the low belly, which allows us to deepen into the emotional space, we'll bring our feet flat on the ground if they're not already. We'll visualize a little foot chakra at the bottom center of each foot spinning open. Spinning bigger and bigger and more open. At the bottom center of each foot, wider and wider, like the lip or the mouth of a tornado, getting wider and wider until there's nothing left at the bottom of the foot. And the entire surface area of the bottom of each foot is an open window or an open plane of energy, which allows the electromagnetic field of the body to connect more intimately with the electromagnetic field of the earth. just through that subtle little visualization, intention, and sensation awareness. I mean, and as we do so, we're going to visualize, see, imagine, and allow 500 energetic roots to extend through the bottom of each foot, like tree roots made of light, energetic extensions of your essence. We're just visualizing them now. 500 from the left foot and 500 from the right foot, anchoring hundreds of miles down into the earth, just through our imagination, awareness, and allowance, so that there are 1,000 light-based tree roots coming from the tree of light of the consciousness of you, anchoring us to the here and now, and the breath is just me connecting with your system and dropping in with it. And then we'll feel, anchoring down into the earth as well, a foot and a half wide grounding cord at the bottom of the spine, the base of the spine, shooting down to the center of the earth. And as it does so, this is our grounding cord, grounding tunnel, grounding tube, a foot and a half wide, all the way down from the spine, base of the spine, to the center of the earth. And as it hits the center of the earth, we'll allow and imagine a river of light given to us from Sophia Gaia, the soul of the planet, an abundant flowing river of healing, loving, nourishing, nurturing light flowing up through that grounding cord from the earth into your first chakra, flowing forward from the first chakra into each hip socket, flowing down into the quads, the glutes, the hamstrings, the knees, the calves, the shins, the ankles, the feet, and down into those roots we established moments ago. Allow the light of the river from the earth, the river of light, to nourish and nurture the roots we extended into the earth moments ago. This is your light being nourished and nurtured, replenished and healed, doused with magical waters by the light of Sophia Gaia, the soul planet. Okay, and so it is. And so we do acknowledge from here the forces of light, asking for guidance, direction, and courage to know the truth. As it is revealed for our highest good and the highest good of everyone connected to us. Holy Spirit of God, protect me, please, from all forms of self-centeredness and direct my attention to the work at hand. Help me to know Raymond Alexander. Thank you. Raymond Alexander Murray in the light of the Akashic Records. Help me to see Raymond Alexander Murray through the eyes of the Lords of the Records and enable me to share the wisdom and compassion that the masters, teachers, and loved ones of Raymond Alexander Murray have for Raymond Alexander Murray. And I'll go quiet for just a moment. Yes, I'm just asking that you align me deeply with the Akashic Records and the soul alignment of Raymond Alexander Murray. Deepen me into his records now. Allow me to experience his alignment with Source. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah ladim. Okay. And as we deepen into his Akashic Records, I'm asking the Lord's Masters and Teachers, the light of the Akasha, to clear anything and everything from his spiritual alignment that would stand in the way of him receiving what he could receive today, of receiving the highest and best Allah, brightest and most refined divine light, transmission for healing, and divine awareness in the form of guidance and direction from you, from the source, from the all that is. Okay. So Alex, if you could, for just a moment, before I check in with you about what you'd like to ask or put forward, if you could bring your energetic attention to the back of your heart chakra, where the center of the chest meets the back of the spine, and imagine that there's a connection between the back of the heart up through the nervous system and into the brainstem at the back of your neck. And just kind of really take yourself into the center of those places. Back of the heart, up through the spine, into the brainstem. We're asking the Lord's Masters, Teachers, Divine Mother, Father, all that is, to clear all of that intensity, heaviness, grasping, clinging, tightness. that keeps Alex from experiencing more of what he's aware of in his mind, experiencing in the body, the oneness, constantly, experiencing himself as the light. Allah. Feeling the flow and the release and the receptivity of being in divine union. Okay, anything and everything that stands in the way of him having that connection and that communion and that love and that nourishment from source all the time at all times. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah ladim. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah ladim. Allah, 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 Allah. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah ladim. Okay with you, Alex, if I clear a couple entities and or demons?
Yeah.
Okay, so any demonic presences or entities? Entities. Okay, demons? No, entities. Okay, beings without bodies sharing Alex's body that keep him in any way blocked from being more in the flow, more in alignment. Truth, who are you all? Truth, who were you before that? Allah. 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 Allah, Allah, Allah. Truth, who were you before that? Allah. Truth, who were you before that? Stay present to the back of your heart, if you could. Truth, who were you before that? 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 Truth, all of you. Truth, who were you before that? Truth, who were you before? Truth, who were you before that? Truth, who you be in the future? All of you. Take all your magnetic imprinting, cellular memory, leave his body, being soul, spirit, across all time, dimension, space, and reality now. Doing no harm as you go, please. Dissipate, release. Okay, lords, masters, teachers, all the hidden, veiled, buried, unsighted, or unseen entities or other beings sharing Alex's space, particularly in the spinal column. We ask that you take all those now. All the ones I can't see and all the ones we can't find. Make them visible. Okay, past lives, karma, no. Okay, entities, yes. Okay, and how many more? Six, seven, eight. Eight, more than eight. Eight. Okay. All those eight entities remaining wherever we can't. Feel into the spinal column. Okay. Okay. That's good. All right, and so, Alex, if you could share any awarenesses you're having of, like, what's going on in your body right now as I'm doing all my wacky stuff.
I mean, I'm anchored. My feet are all the way in, but I guess I didn't realize how crowded my spine was.
And what do you feel in the spine when you feel into it right at this moment, if anything at all?
It feels locked in.
To what?
I can't tell if, it feels like immovable at the moment. I'm not sure that's in a bad way.
Okay, let me see.
It feels clear, but solid.
Clear, but solid. Okay. Yeah. So we could keep going down this rabbit hole, or we can put a pin in it and ask questions you have, because this is like, there's more to do here.
Sure.
We don't actually want it solid. We want it open, receptive, and sort of pliable.
Right. And I guess, I mean, that might be, I'm probably doing it now because I just was being aware. I had not thought about how crowded it might be.
Right.
And I, it just feels, it feels maybe activated is just more the right word. I think when I said, clear, what I meant was more translucent. Like receptive.
Cool. Okay.
But like, It might be because it's been a long time since I've gone through any sort of guided meditation, and I feel maybe a little more stretched than I usually feel at the moment. Uh-huh. All the way down and all the way up, and maybe that's just my spine just feels lengthened.
Okay, I can tell you what I'm seeing, because I think it's more than that. And when you say stretched, what do you mean? Do you mean literally like longer?
Yeah.
Okay, got it. Okay, that's cool.
Like my neck feels like it's like a foot and a half long right now.
Oh, very cool. Now, let me see here. Okay, let's leave that for now. What questions would you like to bring forth, and or healing could you use?
I mean, as per usual, I have roads dividing in front of me, you know, paths and paths splitting. And, I don't know if you want a specific, but,
yes,
you know,
specific.
Just a, sure. I did end a big project today. I cleared some space.
Nice.
And so of course that space wants to be filled immediately because that's how I do it.
Yeah.
I have got very specifically, a friend of mine wants to start to build like a physical space together. We've been talking a lot about like, I mean, it's a bar, a bar, performance space, a fort, all the things. And, I'm worried about it and thrilled by it and not sure if I should hurl myself into that project or not.
Okay. What are you worried about?
what else I could be doing instead?
For example?
You know, being a movie star as opposed to owning a bar and having a weird fort where lots of people get to come and do their thing.
Okay, and what if it could be both?
Oh, that sounds great.
Okay, let me tell you one thing. Before you even said what the thing was, it was like, yes, 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 all day yes. Please do this thing. Oh my God, yes.
Okay.
So that. And then when you start talking about the fear, it's like you can still go on auditions while you're building a thing. And, you know, how cool will it be when they can contribute to one another?
Yeah.
And are there other fears in the way in his spiritual space? And I get a no. Are there any problems in the way? No. I mean, this is like a community center for like-minded peeps. This is like, I mean, it's so in alignment because of what it's for, what it's about. You're not making a bar to be like, let's get everybody hammered all day. You're like, let's bring the people together who need each other, right?
Yeah, no, I want a party. Like, I want everybody talking to everybody and seeing everybody and understanding everybody.
Hmm. And is it in the highest good for it to be in this forum? Yeah, it really is. Why? Because this is a forum that resonates for you and the people involved. You guys want to do this. It's fun. It's activating. It's exciting. It's a big fat yes over here. Yeah, and they go, don't make an either or universe. Just don't make that. You know how to do that. You go into your heart, right? Okay, here's a little trick for you. You go into your heart when you're going like, well, what if I'm not going to do more of the other things? You go in your heart and you find the energy of that stuck kind of like either or, I have to give something up. And you sit with that energy and you breathe into it and you soften the heart around it and it begins to dissolve. And then you're back to oneness and you understand there is no either or, not in your reality.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm afraid of, honestly. I'm less scared now.
Yeah, like on a scale of 1 to 10, how scared are you?
I mean, like an 8, but not at a failure, and not at maybe it's fear that is also like adrenaline fear.
That's it.
The fear that you have when the fucking you hit ignition on the spacecraft.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, It's more like they say,
like, this is gonna, if I go in, it's gonna take off fast.
Yeah. This is not actually fear, they want to say. This is excitement. And oftentimes the nervous system can't tell the difference between fear and excitement. We talk about this as like performance coaches all the time. So your nervous system goes, ah, and you go, I think I'm gonna die, is the mental narrative response. But really the nervous system is going, let's fucking do this. And they read the same in the spinal column. All right, I only have one piece of not the best news ever.
Sure.
And then I want to hear from you again. Let me just see how they want to frame this. What's your drug intake like these days?
Too much.
What kinds?
Just weed.
Oh, okay. Okay, and nothing like other stuff?
Booze.
Okay, how much?
The party animal is creeping back in. I've never had a problem with, I've always known it as a social problem rather than the actual like addiction to the substance. But I've been going out again because the world's opening, and like usually if I'm like, yeah, let's go, and booze is involved, it's almost always too much.
Okay. Is that once a week, twice a week, five times a week?
Right now, once or twice, but it can easily get back up to five.
Okay. All right. So that's the warning signal here, because what it does is too much alcohol and specifically drugs. It's a bummer, but truly too much of anything like that. And it plugs up the channel and makes things foggy and harder to perceive correctly. Now, you'll think that it's actually opening the channel and making you perceive more fully, but that is the trick and the lie of those substances. Now, we're not saying full abstinence for you. That is not the thing here. We're saying watch when it starts to cloud your connection to the all that is. The connection to the all that is primary for you. It must be primary. And then have some drinks and have some weed, but it doesn't have to be, you know, you don't have to be a monk about it, but don't go to like numbing.
Monks love booze.
Don't go to the numbing of the spinal column about it, because that's where you attract.
Yes, I love that place. And I need to be told to not go there. It's an easy place.
Yeah, totally. Okay, other questions? Anything else? Yeah, anything else, Alex?
No, I think that's a lot.
Okay. All right. Well, wow.
I also I'm aware of clock as well.
Well, we have a few minutes.
Because podcaster.
We have 7 minutes.
Okay. Whew, thank you for
my
that.
Pleasure. Yeah. I hope it's useful.
No, yeah, like I said, it's been a while since I've been stretched out and then responded to it. You asked me how I was feeling, and I was like, oh God, I've forgotten how to describe any of this. I will say, man, I talked a lot about church today, because I always talk a lot about church because it was formative. And the one really wonderful spiritual teacher that I had, who was my Sunday school teacher, whose birthday it was yesterday, always used to say, that it's not fear, it's excitement. Those butterflies are just you knowing that you're about to take off. And I forget it sometimes. That's my voice moment, Cass. Like it, I come back
I watched
to it.
It happen.
I come back to it all closed. The time.
But when you said that, Alex on the camera just flipped out a little bit.
Well, that was sort of when I stopped too.
Spasmed. Yeah.
Well, I ripped my roots out of the ground too at that point too. Like my foot portals like were gone. It was just like one of those things where like I'd been thinking about her because it was her birthday recently, and like oh God, so much light. Tita, just amazing human.
What a great convergent moment.
You know, you've been thinking about her because of that message, because that's the message that's been wanting to come through. It's like, you're excited.
Yeah, excited. And I I will say also that, like, I know we're not in it anymore, but I think part of the fear too is I don't want to ever drag anybody along with me that doesn't want to, like, that isn't ready to go. I don't know. And it feels like you said, all yeses. I like that.
Who is the person you would be dragging theoretically here?
My wife. Just because it, like, I devote myself pretty fully to things. But it would be a space for her. Like, what the fuck? She's a performer too and would love to come there. And she's always like to come to, like, what am I worried about?
Yeah.
She's always like to come to every fort that I've ever built and also, like, helped. And
have you talked to her about it?
Oh, I mean, yeah.
And but how does she feel about it?
Well, we have to have the conversation about the actual, like, she has always been like, yeah, as long as you have a plan and you know what you're doing, like, I'm on board, and we'll support.
I mean, I get a huge yes from her. In fact, it's lighter in her field than it is in yours. She's like, yeah, fucking yeah. It's really light in her field.
Yeah, I mean, okay. All right. Well, then get ready to come down from Beacon and hang out at our church, I guess.
I can't wait. You just have to talk to her about it. That's all.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, there's going to be plenty. There will be lots of talking and meetings and spreadsheets and all that's to come. And none of that is. Hi.
That's squeezing my lap. Oh, man.
But yeah, bad news, I also want to say thanks for that, too, because that just, like, I could feel it. I could feel it creeping in. The, like, you know, just go out and get fucking ripped up. And, like, and I like going out, and I have the ability to, like, he's primary. Like, connection to the all has to be primary. And then out and in the world and talking and being the light. Yeah, and, like, if the whole idea is to be the light and carry the light and go with the light, why are you going to fucking crush heady-hopped lampshades all the time? That's no good. They are yummy, though.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to close your records now. Here we go.
Oh, okay.
I want to thank the master's teachers, and I don't want to walk around as you all night. Thanks very much. I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for their love and compassion, the lords of the records for their point of view, and the Holy Spirit of light for all knowledge and healing. I ask that you return all of Raymond Alexander Murray's energy to himself. I ask that you return him to his complete human wholeness now, please. The divine portal and the Akashic records of Raymond Alexander Murray are now closed. Amen. Divine portal and the Akashic records of Raymond Alexander Murray are now closed. Amen. The divine portal and the Akashic records for Raymond Alexander Murray are now closed. Amen, 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 amen. Namaste, motherfuckers.
Namaste, motherfuckers.
Alex, this has been such a treat. You are so fucking fun to listen to and to hang out with and to talk with.
Thanks for having me. I imagine this is not the last time any of us will scream at each other on microphones. So,
or at a bar, perhaps. I'll be there. Yes,
sure. Yeah. Yeah. Live all the answers. Why not?
Oh, shit.
Now you're talking.
Yeah, see?
All of our 10 followers will be there.
Hell yeah, dude. That's all you need.
Well, I've been telling Cassidy what I get about this podcast and what my person who gets things for me gets about this podcast and how big it's going to be. And I'm so delightfully excited for the day when I get to go, suck it, motherfucker. I was right.
I can't wait. I'm excited. You know, I love being
yes,
wrong.
The energy of proving. Yes.
Oh, shit. I guess we still got to do our work.
Ah, damn it. Back to the work.
But when you celebrate the victory of the light.
Nah. Yeah, it's true.
That's
absolutely
right. It's the victory saying, yep, suck it, mother. It's the light saying, suck it, motherfucker.
I think so.
In the service, you're saying suck it, motherfucker, in the service of the light.
because the universe needs me to.
I think it's going to happen, and I think it's going to be awesome when it happens, and we're all going to get to do happy dances when it does.
I can't wait.
Hell yeah.
We'll bring you back left and right, Alex, when it happens.
Fuck yeah.
Hell yeah. I can't wait.
Love you guys.
Do your fucking work, everybody.
Do your work.
Love y'all.
Bitches.
Bye.
Bye. Were you asking for all of the answers? Say what? All of the answers? Yeah, all the answers. Hey guys, thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @allanswerspod. Thank you.
Oh my God. There's so much going on. How are you with overwhelm?
I was feeling overwhelmed earlier in the week, more just random emotional overwhelm. I have a weird dream I could tell you about that totally just like exemplified my overwhelm. But today I'm feeling really good. Like I feel like kind of rose out of it.
No, but I mean, in general, when you have overwhelm, how are you with it?
How do I deal with it? Shit. I ignore it. I pretend I'm not feeling it. And then I suffer. Does that sound about like the guy you know? Yeah, I don't know.
That's hilarious.
I mean, I'll tell you, Katie, I think the last, you know, all the things that... the work we've done and the work has changed my attention to how I react to things. So it's hard to say sometimes. So like, I think more recently when I was feeling overwhelmed, it went right to emotions. And then I watched those emotions as opposed to, you know, which is different than how I would have dealt with it in the past, which is just start feeling flaily and panicky.
And when you say you watch those emotions, what happens for you at the end of watching them? Do they dissipate? Do they process through?
That's a great question. I think there's like three steps for me. There's feeling, but that feeling is sort of an out of control version of feeling where it's just like, I'm feeling and then I kind of zoom out a little bit and go, you're feeling. Cool. Look at that. You're feeling. What's going on? And that's the new step, the step of zooming out for a second going, you're feeling. The best version is then for me to take time.
Yes.
Sit down, meditate, sit in feelings, just allow feelings to be. Doesn't always happen.
Okay. And if you don't do that last step, what happens to the feelings?
They either continue, maybe slightly more muted because I at least gave them a little attention, or they slowly slip back underneath the scars, I think. You know, like they slip beneath the surface and just keep doing the inner problematizing that they do. I'm being like really hard on myself to say it that way, I think. I think sometimes even without the sitting, even the noticing can help a lot in just letting myself go, you're feeling angry. Oh, you're feeling angry at that person. Or, oh, you're feeling frustrated. Oh, and you're feeling frustrated because of this. Then I can at least put it in a place that it makes sense and sometimes take care of it. What are you rubbing your head for?
The Wi-Fi is so bad.
Oh,
it's so
shit.
Hard to listen to you.
Cause I
it's
felt
like
so judged you, just now, Katie.
That's no. What I'm hearing.
Shit.
I'm going to hang up and I'm going to come back. And by the way, I'm yelling and over-enunciating because that's what I wish you were doing because of the fucking Wi-Fi. So I'm sorry. I'll be right back.
Let's try again.
All right. Fuck a duck. Son of a bitch.
I'm just kidding. I was just going to stay frozen for a sec like an asshole. Am I choppy still?
Let's find out. So. Yeah.
Oh, just say words. Do I sound okay? You were sounding fine the whole time.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Keep saying words.
I will tell you, and maybe this will be part of what we talk about. I felt so judged just now because you were going like this.
I'm sure you did.
And I was like, what is it that I'm saying that is so awful? Is it still choppy? Are you still having trouble hearing
me? Yeah, it's still pretty bad. I think I'm going to start sobbing. What should I do? I could hop in my car and drive really quickly over to the healing center and pray to the Lord baby Jesus that the Wi-Fi is better there. And we'll just start right when Alex hops on.
Is that like 10 minutes, 15 minutes?
Yeah, it's not even 10 minutes. I could do it. I think I will completely dissolve into a pile of misery if it doesn't work. Like if I get there and it doesn't work, I'm going to die. It's just been like a busy day full of like a lot already. And then, you know what I, let me see. I'm just sort of praying that like, I'm like, maybe in a second it'll be fine.
Is you want to try crazy? Turning off the video and seeing?
Yeah. 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 I wouldn't even
okay.
Know
am I still choppy now that you've turned off your video?
Oh, let's see.
Maybe. Maybe we all stop our video. I don't know if that changes anything, if that makes any difference whatsoever.
Okay. So that, so far that's a little better. Maybe okay. Say, I unfortunately I need you to say like a bunch of sentences. Okay. To see
when
what
in the course of human events, I don't know the rest of this particular phrase. So I'll say, I know you all and will a while uphold the unyoked humor of your idleness. And yet, herein will I imitate the sun, that doth permit the base contagious clouds to smother up his beauty from the world, that when he please again to be himself. How's it going over there?
Okay. I'm going to hop in the car. I'm going to hop in the car, yeah.
Okay.
I'm also going to let, you know what I'm going to do? Alex and I are in touch by email. I'm going to stop yelling because you can hear me fine. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna email Alex and to ask him to give us another extra 15 so we can like okay. drop in and chit chat and then he can cool. Yeah. Thank you guys and I'm so sorry.
You can't control the internet.
Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna stop my recording.
Okay. I'll see you guys and I'm gonna rush over there. I'll see you in a minute. Okay. Come on, Queasy. Let's go. Oh my God, you guys, thank you so much for your flexibility and the timing and letting me work all that out. It's funny, as soon as I left my house, like my meltdown went away and I was just like stoked to get here and then there was more chaos, but like meltdown energy, donezo. So thank you for your patience. I appreciate you guys.
Now I was impressed when you came on, you were like, I'm good.
Yeah, it was. The energy changed. It was great.
Yeah,
I was happy.
That's
I gotta get out of that house, I think is what needs to happen.
Sometimes.
That was a Sounds Awesome production.